Luke 12:49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. The words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. An account was once shared about a pastor who was giving his retirement Sunday sermon after a long and successful ministry in a congregation. And when the retiring minister reached the end of his sermon, he paused for a moment and he looked out over the huge crowd of his congregation, and it was a rather large congregation, and he proceeded to apologize for having done the gospel a disservice by trying to make ministry too easy. Now, I'm not sure that that is the way that I would suggest anyone to present a retirement Sunday sermon. I think it took a lot of courage for that minister to say what he said. Moreover, I think it took a lot of faith. And perhaps that minister had asked himself some questions, just like Jesus asks many questions in our text today, asks questions that all of us must have asked ourselves at some time. Is our ministry making a difference? Is our congregation making a difference in our community? Is our congregation making a difference in its mission outreach? Is it the kind of difference that God is pleased with? I wonder, how often do we take time to reflect on our vision for this congregation? A community of people who gather together to make a difference because we follow Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to make a difference. For those of you who are not acquainted with it, this is the vision statement of our congregation. Win souls for Christ and nurture believers in their faith. Pretty simple, right? But it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. We know that Jesus came to this earth intending to make a real difference. And I think God wants each one of us to make a difference and wants our congregation to also make a difference as well. Maybe that minister who was retiring was disappointed that he didn't challenge his church enough to light and feed faith's fire. Jesus talks about fire in our text today. Did you know, sadly, a church can die, a church community can die. And perhaps there are some churches that need to die if they cannot make a difference, if they can't rekindle the fire of faith. I think every congregation across our land and all over the world needs to avoid and forsake things that entice it or its people to believe that faith is easy. Faith isn't easy, and there's no such thing as a part-time faith. It's easy to avoid and forsake those things that minimize the spiritual disciplines of faith. It's easy for us to magnify our personal agendas and casualness about our faith. I think an overemphasis on personal agendas is almost a guarantee that you will find a spiritually lukewarm congregation. And I wonder if that retired minister that day on his retirement Sunday had realized that although his church had many members, its faith had not really made a difference under his congregational leadership. I think a congregation that makes a difference in people's lives is a church that kindles and reignites its members' faith in Jesus Christ and challenges them 24/7 to live and talk according to the example and teachings of Jesus Christ. Let's examine in some detail today exactly what Jesus wants us to learn and, more importantly, apply from this text. You know, Jesus talked about coming to bring fire on the earth. Now, he wasn't talking about the fires out on the West Coast in California and the Pacific Northwest. But instead, his phrase here, bringing fire on the earth, may have referred to the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. It also reminds us of a passage in Luke 3:16. And the baptism with fire might refer to the fires of final judgment or the fire of which the Holy Spirit can ignite in us to consume more and more of the carnal nature that we have. Did you know the Holy Spirit in our lives can operate like a fire to purify and to purge the chaff of our lives, to cleanse us from the sins of daily defilement, and to give us new power to daily want to accomplish God's will to make a real difference. Thus, the reference that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, might refer to the sanctification of individual believers, as well as to future judgment. In Luke 12, 50, Jesus also referred to fire. And if you think about it, wasn't the death of Jesus like a baptism of fire? Jesus knew he couldn't redeem sinful human beings without in some way entering into the fiery judgment of God upon human sin. Indeed, many of us are familiar with all the scriptures that indicate how Jesus was emotionally distressed until he accomplished his mission coming to earth to make a difference. I find it very interesting how Jesus talked about family in this text. In Luke 12, 51, Jesus says that family divisions would occur because of the differing responses that people make to the salvation that he came to this world to give. I'd like you to slowly consider this statement. Family ties are strong when the members of a family are united in Christ. Family divisions are sharp when individuals are divided over faith in Christ. Now, Jesus in this text also advises us to discern the times in which we live. And I don't think Jesus was just addressing this to the Sadducees and the Pharisees of his day. Luke's account says that Jesus is addressing this section to everybody who is hearing him. And I think he's addressing it to each one of us this morning. He was saying these people were experts about predicting the weather. They were able to read the signs of impending weather changes, but they were either unable or unwilling to read the spiritual signs to discern what was ahead in their futures. You know, Jesus is being pretty tough in this text, right? He's not being a Mr. Milquetoast teacher here. Jesus was chastising them for not interpreting the spiritual signs of the times. And I think if anybody is very honest and if they open their Bibles and keep their ears and their eyes open, they're going to see there are signs in the times occurring in our world. But I have a suggestion for you to think about. Remember, Jesus was criticizing these people for being so aware of the weather and what the weather was going to do. I wonder, even today, do we spend more time watching or listening to weather forecasts than we do to praying or reading God's word? And I wonder, in a typical day, do we know and talk more about the weather, and often we complain about the weather, right, than we do about sharing the gospel and a biblical perspective, not just about spiritual matters, but how about all the material matters that people are so concerned about? Think about this. If you lived in an environment which had a lack of proper sanitation practices, what would you do? What if you walked into a kitchen and you saw spoiled food being pulled out of the refrigerator, and you saw somebody cooking spoiled food with dirty pots and pans? Would you sit down and put that napkin around you and get the fork and spoon out? Would you be ready to dig in? Now, you would probably leave as quickly as you could. Or if you had to stay there, and that reminds me of one of my father's cousins one time who lived near Erie, Pennsylvania. And when we would visit them when I was a young child, we always made sure we didn't stay around mealtime, because we walked into a kitchen that looked very much like this kitchen I'm describing. You know, there are certain situations we would refuse to put up with if they endangered our physical health. And how much more is it spiritually applicable when the eternal destinies of human souls are at stake? Think about what Jesus' contemporaries saw. They saw Jesus heal the sick, give sight to the blind. They saw Jesus do all these miracles, yet most people didn't believe in him. Not because they didn't have evidence, but because their hearts were hard. Jesus sort of shifts gears, beginning with verse 59 of Luke chapter 12, where he advises us to make peace with our adversaries. Do you know there are a lot of spiritual and practical reasons for settling differences that you have with other people without delay and obviously without going to court? Jesus warns here, if conflicts aren't settled, they can even lead to arrest and imprisonment. And certainly in the light of the crises that followed the various trials of Jesus Christ and his beatings, his crucifixion, you can see why it is best to speedily settle differences. I personally believe that when brothers and sisters in Christ have differences, they need to go to the person that they have the difference with and not talk to 10 or 15 other people about it first. In fact, I want to encourage you, if you're having a difference with somebody in the congregation, go to that person before you even come to me. Now, I'll listen to what's going on, but I'll also tell you that the Bible way, the biblical way, when you have a difference with someone, you go to that person privately first. And then if you can't work that out, I'm glad to be involved, or there's other brothers and sisters in Christ that could be involved. Certainly, suing people and going to court should be a last resort of defense. Instead, Jesus in his teachings advised us to turn the cheek, to go the second mile, to be eager to become reconciled. He wanted us to do all those positive things. Jesus didn't want us to hate. Jesus didn't want us to curse. Jesus didn't want us to resent people. Jesus didn't want us to grumble. Jesus didn't want us to attack people behind their backs. You know, as Christians, we all believe in forgiveness, right? Some of you have been in my Sunday school class. I forget how many months we've been studying forgiveness up there. Forgiveness isn't easy. It is complex. God's word is filled with all the different ramifications of forgiveness. We might say we believe in forgiveness. Yet, when it comes to the grievances that we don't want to get rid of, that we don't want to take off, few of us consider the benefits of forgiving when we've been hurt or insulted. As a pastor, I'm going to make a couple confessions this morning. Sometimes I'm tempted to think, if I would just pray more, or if I would just try harder, or if I would just make more visits or make more phone calls or work more hours, I could have each person in here have more faith. the kind of faith that I know Jesus wants you to have. But you know, I can't do that, can I? Jesus, he couldn't even give people faith that didn't want to believe in him. Faith is something through the power of the Holy Spirit that has to be worked out. Faith is a struggle. Faith has to be developed and has to be shared by other individuals that you're accountable to that are willing to submit to the Lord their lives 24/7. You know, it's possible that some Christians don't want to have a growing faith because they know it's going to cost them time, it's going to cost them energy, and we are well aware in many parts of Africa and the Middle East and South Asia today, and even in North Asia, in the country of North Korea, where a Christian's faith can cost their lives. According to what Jesus said here, our faith can even cost us the friendship of friends and family members. Don't answer this out loud, but I'm going to ask you this question. When was the last time you differed with a loved one? Maybe it was on the way to church today. Maybe it was last night. Didn't it hurt when you had a disagreement? Do you recall the last time you had to stand firm on what you believe in direct contradiction to what your spouse or a child or a parent believes? You see, a growing faith, a faith that is burning, a faith that's igniting, can make a difference in our lives and can affect the people who are closest to us. Jesus knew this was true in the first century, and it's still true in the 21st century. Maybe some of you are surprised how Jesus talked in this text when he told the crowd he was going to bring fire and division. Wow, how do you reconcile that with Jesus loves me, this I know? But I think Jesus was trying to tell them that genuine saving faith in God costs something that moves us and inspires us to struggle. This is the kind of faith that Jesus wants each one of us to have. A congregation that makes a difference in people's lives helps us to better understand this. Now, I'm going to say something right now that might not sit too well, and maybe after the message you might come up to me. And please come up to me. Don't come to 10 or 15 other people first, all right? If you don't like what I'm going to say, just tell me. We cannot build a faith that makes a difference by just attending a worship service 1 hour a week. Sunday church going alone won't grow and nurture the kind of faith that Jesus came to this earth to teach about and the kind of faith that Jesus hung on the cross to die for. When we encourage people to think that an occasional visit is all they need for a life of faith, you know what we're going to see? You know what we're going to taste? I think we're going to taste a lot of sour grapes. When we allow people to think that faith requires no enduring life commitment to Jesus Christ, that's when we have weak congregations. If this is the type of congregation with which we are satisfied, then we have little to offer to the Lord that can help make a real moral and spiritual difference in our community. The congregation that makes a difference in people's lives does all that it can to offer the Lord's emotional, intellectual, physical, and spiritual nourishment with a knowledge of and an application of biblical teachings. And you know, this type of commitment takes more than 60 minutes on a Sunday morning. And I think when we're better equipped to discern God's will and to be willing to count the cost and pay the cost in the time, energy, and devotion to give our all to making a difference, then that is when we will actually see some progress against the many sins that are destroying so many people's lives right in front of our own eyes. Every one of us sitting here today, and I'm standing, I guess that's what I have to do for 20 minutes, right? Well, you said I get to stand, okay? But every one of us in this sanctuary, or if you are listening outside of the sanctuary this morning, every one of us knows so many people who are not really living. They are only existing. They are not living the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to this earth to give. Think about Jesus. Jesus, he didn't even go to high school, did he? He didn't go to college. He wasn't a white collar worker. I don't think he ever wore a white shirt like I'm wearing this morning. Instead, Jesus, he was a blue collar worker, right? He was a carpenter. And he lived in a town that many people despised, that town called Nazareth. But he was a carpenter who left his trade, and he became an itinerant preacher. He proclaimed the good news of God's love, grace, and did he talk about God's judgment? Sure, you read about it in Matthew 24 and 25. Jesus was a person who believed in the power of God to change people and situations. And he believed what he was doing would help his Heavenly Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to change and save individuals. What a faith Jesus Christ came for. This is the kind of faith God, through the Holy Spirit, wants us to develop. This is the kind of faith that makes a difference and has to be developed in every growing congregation. We have a lot of challenges. We have a challenge to work. We have a challenge to give of our time, of our treasure, and our talents. And I hope many of you will unite with me in prayer that this congregation could always be a community that learns how to interpret the signs of the times of our generation, just like Jesus tried to get the people of the first century to understand the signs of our times. And when we do those things, then we can make a real difference in our local community and through our support of missions, both home and abroad. May we seek God's help through the power of the Holy Spirit to all we can do to reignite the fires of faith. I invite you to stand for our hymn of invitation, number 344, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, number 344.